The sermon title for today is Jesus is our whole burnt offering, and the Bible text is taken from Leviticus chapter 1 verses 1 to 2. Now I shall ask the scripture reader to read the text for you.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Scripture reading is taken from Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when anyone among you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as an offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. May God bless those who read and obey his word."
Right, it's an honor and privilege to have Brother Edmund to speak to us. He's entitled the message, Jesus is our whole burnt offering. Shall now invite Brother Edmund.
Morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Truly, it's a privilege to worship with you today. As you know, we have been looking through this book of Leviticus for the last few sessions, and I've actually worked backwards. We started in Leviticus chapter 24, chapter 19, and then now we start with chapter 1. As I mentioned before, Leviticus is the book that the Jews started with. Today we neglect the book of Leviticus, but in the days of the Jews, it was the first book that was taught to the children. And the reason why the Jews taught the children Leviticus is because this was the only way that sinful man could communicate with the holy God. This was the only way. It was through a series of sacrifices. And if you look at Leviticus chapters 1 to 7, it describes a few rituals or a few sacrifices, of which it starts with a bang in Leviticus chapter 1. Now, Leviticus chapter 1 is often shortened, abbreviated to the burnt offering, but the full name of this sacrifice is called the whole burnt offering. And the reason why it's called the whole burnt offering is because the entire offering is offered to God. You will find that there are several sacrifices from chapters 2 to 7, and you will find that most of the other sacrifices, the sacrifice at the end is shared, part by man and part by God. But this sacrifice is unique. It's a little bit unique in the sense that this is the only sacrifice that is entirely devoted to God. Man has no share in this sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 1 gives three different possible sacrifices. First one is the bull, second one is the sheep, third one is the pigeon. But you will find that the description or the prescriptions for this ritual is most detailed for the bull. And with that, the principles are similarly applied to the sheep and to the pigeon itself. All right, another interesting feature about this whole burnt offering is it was purely voluntary. It was a purely voluntary offering. Some offerings were mandatory, like sin offering. These were mandatory offerings, but this one here was a pure free will offering, and the purpose of this offering was to seek atonement for sin. Alright, a couple of key elements on this burnt offering that I wanted to share with you. If you read verses 1 to 9, and that's the section on the bowl, you'll find that the few key elements are: number one, you got to bring an acceptable animal. Number two, this animal had to be offered at an acceptable location. The the ritual of making this animal acceptable on the behalf of the offerer, and then you needed to sacrifice the animal correctly. We'll examine this as we go along. All right. Okay. Recall in Leviticus 24, we had dealt with the holy place. And this was the holy place. And we are actually working backwards. Today's exhortation basically deals with this portion here. Now, just as a quick reminder, in the holy place, you will find that only the priest could enter the holy place. And this one here is the Holy of Holies, where it's symbolically God lives here. And this Holy of Holies is only restricted to the high priest, and he can enter this most holy place only once a year, and there were several restrictions. All right. So the ones that we talked about in Leviticus 24 was in this holy place. Now we are looking at this section here. I'll just point out that this is the altar of sacrifice, and this is the bronze basin where they had water. So just keep that in mind as we proceed. Okay. Now, since we have a little bit more background, you will find that holiness increases from east to west. East to west. That means God is here. He's the most holy. He's sinless. So the people who worship God, the closer they got to this side here, the purer they had to be ritually. All right? Okay, so that was the principle in which the tabernacle was laid out. Okay, let's engage the text. Verse 3, if the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you are to offer, here it is very prescriptive, you are to offer a male without defect, cannot be female, got to be a male. You, the offerer, must present it at the entrance to the tent of the meeting. And why is it so specific? Because he wants to tell you that this is occurring here, not here. Remember when we talked about it last time in Leviticus 24, it was here. But today in Leviticus 1, it begins here. So what the first picture is this. There is a limit as to who can worship God. The closer you get to the Holy of Holies, the more ritually pure you must be. So this was considered a place general people could be there. All right. So what do we learn from this? We learn that this location is designated because people could not go beyond this without being ritually pure. All right? And what do we learn? We learn that sinful men cannot draw close to God. That was the picture. It is God who gives specific instruction, and it is the worshipper's responsibility to fully obey. I give you an example. So if verse 3 says, you are to offer a male without defect, you cannot offer a female. You all laugh here, but you will find that in Malachi, that's exactly what they did. What they did was they offered a female sheep. So the instructions are very clear. It's got to be male. It must be without defect. Why again? Because in Malachi, there was a corruption there. And what they did was they sacrificed diseased or injured animals. So the injunction in Leviticus chapter 1 is very clear. It has got to be a male and not all. And it has to be without defect. Who's supposed to check? You supposed to check. The offerer is supposed to check. The offerer's responsibility is to comply. We move on. Verse 4. You, the offerer, you are to lay your hand on the head of the burnt offering. All right? and it will be made. It will be accepted on your behalf to make atonement for you. Now, there are two pictures why the offerer had put his hand on the head. It was symbolically to say, I transfer my sin to the offering, which is pure and blameless. That's the first one. Second meaning is I am responsible for what happens to the offering afterwards. So there are two. So you put your hand there, you are saying, I am sinful, the offering is pure, I have made sure it is pure, I will symbolically transfer my sin to this offering. That's number one. Number two, what subsequently happens to this offering, I am responsible. So that's the picture behind it. To make atonement for you, why? Because I need purification, or the offerer needed purification. He was sinful, he was stained before God, and that's why the offerer had to, so that this sacrifice had to be an atonement for the offerer. Alright, I'll just go through the verses and then we'll put it together later. Number 5, verse 5, you, the offerer, you are to slaughter the bull before the Lord. Aaron's sons, the priest shall bring the blood and splash it against the sides of the altar. Now, a few things first. Number one, the word slaughter is actually literally a slitting the throat. And if you look at the ritual itself, it was conducted with a very sharp knife. Number two, the word here is used for ritual slaughtering. That means when you slaughter it, it's not meant for consumption. That means I slaughter it, this guy, this thing here, I want to eat. No, it's not that. It's a ritual. A slaughtering means it is intended for worship. Now, you will notice, I'll read that in verse 5 again. You supposed to slaughter, Aaron's son will bring the Aaron's sons, the priest will bring the blood. That means what? You are to slaughter. That means you cannot subcontract it out. Hey, Agu, can you do this on my behalf? You can't subcontract it out. You have to do it yourself. Your responsibility. After, you see, it's not Aaron will slaughter this thing here, and then you can't reverse the roles here also. You say, hey, this one here, hey, this one Mahuan, priest, why don't we swap? It's like, I speak this week, next week you speak, then we swap. It's not like that. The injunction is very clear. You, the offerer, slaughter. You, the offerer, don't subcontract it out to Agu. Number three, Aaron's son will take over only after you have slaughtered. All right? And you must imagine this scene here. You have a bull, which is quite big. It's a bull, and you start to slaughter at the throat. That's what slaughter means, is slitting the throat. That means you don't kill the bull by death by a thousand cuts. First, I chop off his hoof, then I chop off his tail, then I gouge out his eye. No, it's not done that way. All right? And you must imagine the scene here. And you must imagine the scene right here, at this place. You are offering already, you know. You are you are ritually slaughtering the bull. So the blood was spurt out from the artery, and then the priest will capture this on a bowl, and then they're supposed to splash on four sides. And they're supposed to splash the blood on four sides of the altar here. You must imagine the gory scene. The place is full of blood. It's all spurting out, and then the animal is so. This ritual is intended to be audio and visual also lah. Audio you can hear, visual you can see lah. So it's a 3D effect, you see, and it's supposed to impress on the offerer that, hey, this sacrifice You know, some of the other sacrifices are like peace, bake a cake. You know, that one, nobody dies, but nobody shouts on. Grain only, frankincense only, gold only. But this one here, animal will be shouting. Animal will be in pain. And you, the offerer, are responsible for it. So the early Jews, when they saw this ritual, they understood, hey, this ritual is actually quite a profound ritual. That's why this ritual is number one. This ritual is the first ritual. Without this ritual, the second, third, fourth, fifth, subsequent rituals have no impact, have no meaning. So this is the main ritual. This is the most important ritual. Okay, so point one, slaughter means literally slitting the throat. Point two, the priest only capture this after you, the offerer, have slit the throat and are splashing it on four sides, showing symbolically that the life of this animal has been offered to God. Verse 6, further instructions. You, the offerer, are to skin the bird offering, and you are to cut it into pieces. That means you cannot subcontract it. But this one here, I got no strength. Or I scared of blood. You, the offerer, you responsible, you cut it into pieces. Verse 6. After you cut into pieces, then the priests are to put on the fire. What you have cut, they will put it onto the altar. They will arrange the wood like barbecue, and they will set it up on fire. All right? Now, two things that the priest cannot omit. The priest cannot omit, as they arrange verse 8, what the priest will arrange these pieces on the altar, and they must include two pieces, the head and the fat. The fat is better translated as a kidney or around that area. And the head was a picture of a person's rational mind, and the fat was a picture of the emotions. All right? That's how the Jews considered it. So, let me be a little bit long-winded. Verse 6, you are to skin the burnt offering, cut it into pieces. After you do that, after you cut into pieces, then after that, Aaron's sons will put it onto the altar. He must not omit these two parts. He must not omit the head. He must not omit the kidney, let's just say. And then this thing here is burning. While he is doing that, verse 9, you, the offerer, you are to wash the internal organs and the legs, and in Hebrew is the hind legs, with water. And organs, again, internal organs is a place of emotion. That's how the Jews saw themselves. And why clean the legs with water? After all, it's going to be burned, right? Right now, the whole thing just burned. Wet with leg dirty or not, you just burn the offering. Right? But this was intended to show that. Okay, number one, how come the legs are dirty? This is an animal, and then they were in the desert, we were walking around, so the animal also walk around, so it'd be dirty. So the injunction to clean off the legs with water was symbolic, or a picture of cleaning off dirt, which is external, things that you can see. Alright? You means the offerer can see one. Correct? And then, second part of verse 9, the priest is to burn all of it. That means the entire offering goes up. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, and an aroma pleasing to the Lord. So so what are the lessons that we can draw from this picture here? So we see that the priest will arrange the head and the fat to be burned. This is a picture of Jesus who totally surrenders himself to do and his will to do God's will, his will to God. And we see that reference in Luke. He says, I have come to do your will. Now, the offerer washes the internal organs is a picture of daily cleansing. That means I may have harbored some evil thoughts. I want to sabo this colleague. I want to scheme, make sure this person fail. I want to have adulterous thoughts. These things, the offerer has to daily clean himself. Those are internal. External one, maybe words that we have said, maybe unwise, or we have shouted unreasonably, or we have acted unreasonably. These are the external acts which need to be cleaned on a daily basis. But you notice the sequence. Number one, verse 8, you are supposed, Aaron, the priests are supposed to arrange the pieces, burn, and then only you wash. What does that mean? That means that after Jesus as a sacrifice, you make a daily commitment to cleanse yourself internally as well as externally. Burn up in smoke. Point three, burn up in smoke is actually used in the context of worship. And the smoke rising to the Lord is called a pleasing aroma. And at this point, point four, this offering is accepted by God on the offerer's behalf. I just want to be clear. The aroma is pleasing to the Lord, not when the thing goes up in smoke, you know. When the whole ritual is done properly, then only the smoke that goes up to the Lord is acceptable. Which means this, only when you bring a herd, a bull, only when you have inspected that the bull is male, only when you inspect that the bull is without blemish, then only you go and cut the slit the throat, not go and cut the tail first. Hey, I think I'm not sure this one. Oh, I think I cut the tail first. No, you slit the throat first. Only when the blood is captured in a bowl, only when the blood is splashed onto the bronze altar, only when the head and the innards are placed on the altar to be burnt, only when you wash the internal, and only when you wash the external legs, and then when the entire offering is burnt up in smoke, then it is acceptable to God. Why do I make such a long statement? Because the Jews thought, everything going up in smoke, if it's smoke, where there's smoke equal, there's pleasing. No. So it's not just smoke only, God is happy. God is happy only if the entire ritual is followed to a T, then only it is pleasing. We'll summarize it with practical applications. Number one, the burnt offering is a voluntary offering to worship Him. It is an invitation today, here and now. God is inviting us here and now to worship Him. He doesn't force us. It's a purely voluntary worship. Number two, the offering can be a bull, a sheep, or bird. That means what? Anybody, any social status. A bull will be for those who are very rich. A sheep will be those who are middle class. A bird is for those who are desperately poor. So, anybody, any social, economic section of society can worship God. What a wonderful God. He doesn't say only bull, you know. Well, then those people cannot afford bull. We have a problem. No, He makes it open. He invites everybody here and now, no matter your socioeconomic level, whether you're a billionaire or you're a pauper. Doesn't worry about your educational level, whether you got a PhD or DHP. Doesn't matter. Whether you wear specs or you don't wear specs, doesn't matter. Worship. You are invited to worship God today. The animal must be perfect or without blemish. That means not any animal, you know. It must be a sinless sacrifice. The only sinless sacrifice is Jesus. Picture of Jesus to come. The offerer identifies with the offering. When the offerer puts his hand on the head, he is saying, I need this sinless offering to take my place. Picture of Jesus who takes our place. Takes our place. The offerer slaughters the offering. A picture of, I am responsible for Jesus' cruel death. I am responsible. The priest now, now it's their priest. The priest takes the blood and splashes around the altar. The priest is saying that Jesus' life is offered before God. The priest then arranges the head, the rationale, and the emotion. Jesus totally does this. He sacrifices his body and his will to God willingly, willingly. Point eight, the offerer washes the internals and hind leg. After that sacrifice, after when the priest put this offering on the altar, the offerer makes a commitment, a daily commitment to cleanse himself from internal ungodly desires and external ungodly acts. He makes this commitment before God. Then, finally, the priest burns the entire offering. The aroma that arising from this burnt offering goes to God, and God accepts the sacrifice. God accepts Jesus as a sacrifice on our behalf. Jesus is our whole burnt offering. Brothers and sisters, we don't realize the importance of this sacrifice. We take it for granted. Most of us here have trusted Jesus as our Savior. Those who have not, today is the time. This place is the location. Point 10. God specifies the offering. Which means what? God tells me what is acceptable. He tells me the way to worship Him. I'll give you some ways here. In 1 Peter, ladies dress properly lah. Men in 1 Peter, love your wives. Ephesians chapter 6 or chapter 5. Chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband. These are the things that God tells us are acceptable to Him. You see, those who wish to worship God must worship God with the correct offering. Then you can't... Why? Because true worship of God, you must go through only Jesus. Hey, why only Jesus? Cannot be X, cannot be Y, cannot be Z, cannot be Alpha. Cannot! Why cannot be lady? God not gender neutral. It's got nothing to do with gender. It's got to do with the picture that God leaves for us to understand. Number 12 is my favorite. The offerer cannot decide to offer a giraffe. The offerer cannot say, Hey, Richard, you notice the bull, the sheep, the herbivores. I also give a herbivore here, like giraffe. A giraffe, maybe 5 times bigger. Everybody can eat one. Not only for me, for my whole family, this giraffe, I sacrifice giraffe, my whole family clear. This one, individual one, you got to make that commitment individually. You cannot say, I decide to worship God however I want. I think we have a worship service whenever I'm free, The worship, no need. Why you need scripture? We just take from Newsweek, We just take one and do a commentary on the existing war in Europe, Oh, better still, why don't we take from Her World? The latest fashion, No, we don't decide how to worship God. God prescribes the principles of worship, acceptable worship. Let us pray. Father in heaven, just thank you for this wonderful passage of scripture, Leviticus chapter 1, that outlines for us how sinful men like us can approach a holy God like you. Father, thank you for this wonderful sinless sacrifice on our behalf. Jesus, who takes away our sin, who we have caused his pain, his suffering, his death. Father, thank you that Jesus has decided in his mind to obey you, to endure the cross in obedience. Lord, help us this week as we cleanse our internals, any evil desire, any ungodly desire, Lord. Help us to rid ourselves of this. Our external actions also, maybe a word spoken, an act done thoughtlessly. Oh, Father, help us to be wise and live a committed life after we have trusted in Jesus. Father, we thank you that this worship is available to anybody. Father, we thank you that this worship is available to us here and now. We don't have to go to a specific place. We don't have to engage a specific person. But we can, before you, now cry out for help. Father, we are sinners. We are only saved by grace. Father, thank you for this perfect sacrifice that you provided on our behalf. And as a gesture of our gratitude, help us to live the next 6 days in a way that will please you. Help us to cleanse our internal and cleanse our external as well. Father, we give you all the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elder Jim, please.